Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral, and wow, am I excited. I don't know if I've ever been more excited. I'm excited in the Lord, but I'm excited to have a close friend, someone who is a mentor to me in so many different ways, and someone who truly is a very holy priest. I just can't say enough wonderful things about Father Steve Carrez, who is the parochial vicar of St. Joachim's in Costa Mesa, California. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here today.
It's wonderful to have you, Father. And we're talking about faith and mental health. I don't know about you, but I have COVID fatigue. Is this like a nightmare that just keeps coming and coming? And I've been blessed not to have COVID, but regardless, I mean, we're all impacted in different ways. I think mental health, as again, we're talking about faith and mental health here on Empowered by the Spirit, is always an issue in this really, really challenging society and world that we have in and culture. But I think it's off the charts right now. Sure. What are your thoughts?
Oh, certainly, certainly. In fact, there's, you know, so much focus on the COVID virus and all of its variants that we sometimes forget about some of the other things that have been impacted, especially in regards to our own mental health. As you were saying before, the fatigue of mental health, so much to speak of, like just being tired of it. But because of the isolation, because of, all the lockdowns and all these other variances that have come about because of it, it's created an unnatural way in which we live. You know, as human beings, we're interactive people. We actually suffer when we aren't able to interact in a very healthy, in a very holy way, in a very loving way. And it's so, as you were saying, not only is there a fatigue as far as like with the COVID virus, but we're seeing an increase of depression and anxiety and all kinds of other breakdowns in mental health. And so, as a priest, you've heard quite a bit of it in the confessional, people who are expressing, their problems of depression, anxiety. And, normally in the past, as a priest, we would try to get to the source of the problems as far as their sins go. But because of how this has really impacted their lives, on a personal level, have allowed people to speak probably a little bit longer than what I normally would in the past, just simply because it has impacted so much of what people are experiencing and has made it so much more worse. So yes, it certainly is something that, unfortunately, in our desire to try to eradicate the COVID virus, we have sometimes forgotten about some of the other consequences that have come about because of it. And we're now certainly suffering from it and hopefully becoming more and more aware of it and trying to address that as well.
Our society as a whole, I think, has made a lot of progress, at least in my lifetime, on physical health, understanding how to take care of your body, what foods to eat, vitamins, supplements, going to the gym, exercising, many things, which are fantastic. And certainly exercise does help mental health. But there's so little emphasis on mental health, which is interesting to me. My background, I was a senior executive in pharmaceuticals and actually sold antidepressants and anxiety pills, antipsychotics. And so I spent a lot of time around psychiatrists, psychologists in that area. But as a whole, we're very, very ignorant about what does it mean to have good mental health? And what's the difference between mental health, let's say, and mental illness?
Well, I think the important thing is to recognize that mental health is your well-being, so to speak. And so, when we're talking about, when you're at peace, when you're joyful, when everything is going right, you're in a state of well-being. Mental health, though, sometimes it can also refer to when things are not going right. So when you're filled with a lot of anxiety, when you're suffering from depression, when you're going through other issues that affect your well-being. And so I think it's always important to make the distinction, because people automatically conclude that if you're suffering from mental health, that you must have a mental illness. Mental illness would be very similar to our physical illnesses. They are conditions, they are infirmities that impact our health. But in this particular case, they impact our mental health. And so they might affect our personalities. They may affect our behaviors. They may affect our cognitive process of thinking. I think it's one of those important factors is to consider, is because especially when we're looking at the issue of mental health, this COVID pandemic has really affected a lot of people's mental health. And that mental health has been impacted because of the pandemic, not because of mental illnesses.
My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco. I'm on with Father Steve Carrez. We're talking about faith and mental health. To what extent have you been kind of down, depressed, blue? Do you see the glass half empty rather than half full? Are you worried a lot? Are you anxious a lot? All of those obviously are symptoms that something isn't quite right in terms of where you are emotionally, where you are in terms of really being joyful. And I remind everyone again of John, the 15th chapter of John, one of my favorite chapters, in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Now, joy is something that circumstances cannot take away. It's completely different than happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is Jesus over you. It's a relationship with Jesus. But so many times, Father, people feel alone.
Yeah.
They feel broken. They feel like there's no hope.
Yes.
And maybe our listeners out there, some of you are feeling that way. What message would you have for them in terms of that hopelessness feeling? What message would you have for them?
Well, I think that it's important for us to remember that we're not alone, that God is always there for us. And I think when we suffer from depression, when we suffer from anxiety, it can be easy conditions for us to pull away from other people. Or, as like you were saying before, because of the lack of knowledge and the lack of public awareness of it, people think that they are going through a problem that's exclusive only to them. Now, it's unique to each person, but it's more common than what people actually realize. And the more that we talk about it, the more that we begin to share our struggles, the more that we actually find that it isn't as uncommon as we expected it to be. I, as a Catholic priest, you know, had suffered for many years with depression. And, you know, I was always very fearful, very scared of sharing that with other people, just simply because people come to the priest looking for answers. They come to the priest looking for stability.
Right.
And for me to actually share that and to express that and to admit to that, there would almost be this level of, well, maybe the priest doesn't really have that level of security that I'm looking for.
One of the things that's really important, my brothers and sisters, is to be around people who understand and have experienced what you're going through. Maybe not exactly, but Father, you know, what a blessing. And one of my favorite scriptures, again, is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that says, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. How do you give thanks? You maybe not give thanks for the challenges that you're going through, the troubles you're going through, or the illness, perhaps, but you do give thanks for what Jesus is doing as a result of it.
Sure.
I mean, think about where you are right now in terms of what you went through with a serious loss in your family,
sure,
what you went through in terms of the depression, and how much empathy you have for other people, and how you can help them, because you're not in the same place you were before. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I did have a loss in my family. I was born and grew up as a twin. my twin brother Stuart and I went to the seminary together, and at a very young age of 22, he passed away unexpectedly, and it threw me for a loss, just simply because as a twin growing up, I had obviously a very close connection with him. And so, you know, I tried to hide the depression as best as I could, and tried to compensate for it in different ways. But I think one of the things, you know, as Catholics, that we can reflect upon, and this is one of the things that I always would start to reflect upon, is one of our greatest symbols is that of the crucifix. And, you know, it's different from the cross. Our Protestant brothers and sisters love the cross. They don't necessarily embrace the crucifix. We embrace the crucifix because of that word embrace. We're embracing the suffering. We're not enduring it. We're embracing it, just as Christ embraced it. He transformed that suffering into something good. And, you know, it gave me some hope and consolation with what it was that I was going through. But still, it was a long, long process. And so I think, you know, one of the things over the years that I started to become more emboldened to do is to share that experience with other people. It certainly did give me an opportunity to relate to other people. As a priest, I so oftentimes have people coming in my office sharing with me the troubles of their lives. And sometimes as a priest, you can't always relate to every experience that a person is going through. When a person in a family, mother comes in and reveals that she's just lost a child. As a Catholic priest, sometimes I can't relate to that directly, but I can certainly relate to the fact that I had lost somebody in my own life. When spouses come in and they're going through marital problems, and it can be very excruciating, or when someone loses their spouse, and once again, it can be very easy for me as a priest to say, well, I can't relate to that. Well, in some ways I can't, but there is also some ways that I could, because having a twin brother, not necessarily the same as having a spouse, by no means, but there was a connection there that was very similar. So it did give me a number of opportunities to be able to connect with people.
My brothers and sisters, we at Empowered by the Spirit, Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry, are committed to help in the area of mental health. This is something that we believe in very strongly, that we need to have a voice to help you, to really be there with you, to pray with you, and look for our various shows that we're going to have on Zoom and other vehicles in terms of communication, in which we'll have people talking about. In fact, Father Steve will be also with us, in which you can go. And you can go to our St. Joseph Summit and actually also see stjosephsummit.com and actually see what we did in our videos, and to be able to experience with Father Steve and myself, you know, some Q&A as it relates to that. But you're going to hear a lot more about that as we go forward. I am beyond comprehension excited. I'm excited! And I'm so excited again because Father Steve Carrez, parochial vicar of St. Joachim's in Costa Mesa, is with me. But we're talking about such an important subject, faith and mental health. And you're going to have to forgive me because I'm going to digress a little bit. Maybe not digress, but I want to talk about reconciliation, because I have been blessed to be with Father and to have him administer the sacrament of confession and reconciliation with me. Find somebody who is not condemning. I don't know if that's a weird way of saying it, but, you know, where you don't feel worse leaving than you do coming in, you know, and yet is also honest. But the power of reconciliation is one of the most important tools, I believe, in helping mental health, as well as, of course, fighting off demonic attacks and so forth. But just on the mental health side, why is reconciliation so important?
Well, I think one of the important things, as it's like you're saying, is that we are sometimes our own worst judge, and yeah, we can also be our own worst enemy in regards to not feeling worthy enough to be receiving God's forgiveness or God's grace or God's mercy. And he wants to give it to us. And so it's always important for us to acknowledge that he's not the hardest person to convince that we're in need of it, that we're worthy of it. We are. And, you know, God has the ability to be able to do things against our will, but he doesn't. He's given us a free will for a reason, and he respects it. And so he utilizes the graces that we have in the sacraments to be able to give ourselves the opportunity to receive those graces. And I think, you know, one of the things in regards to mental health, and when we're talking about depression, we're talking about anxiety, is we get into these ruts where we don't really feel like we can change or right. we shouldn't change it. And that was me. It's like, as I was sharing that, my depression and my struggles with the suffering that I was going through really made me relate to other people. As I was helping them out of their problems, I felt like I had to stay in the hole in order to relate to other people. And so even though I had at least some satisfaction of being able to help someone else out of the whole of their depression, I felt like I had to stay there because I was not worthy of it myself. And so there were actually times where I really honestly believed that I was helping people get into heaven. But like Moses, I was standing at the gates of the promised land, not, you know, destined to get in myself. So
one of the most important things from brothers and sisters is to understand that we are in a war, and we're in a war against an enemy who is attacking us mostly through attacking our minds, you know, and we see this in scripture that says we have to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10:5 and following. Every thought captive in obedience to Christ, because the devil attacks our minds. The devil wants to tell us we're worthless, that we're never going to change, we're never going to get better, that how dare we have a ministry because we're such sinners. All of these lies, one lie after another, and it's so important that we don't receive those lies. One of the things my wife and I got in the habit of is saying to each other, if something negative comes up, I don't receive that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that self-talk is really, really important. Going to reconciliation, one of the most important things you can ever do is just be honest.
Yes.
Be honest. Your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly, because, you know, so oftentimes people will say, well, I don't like to go to confession because, you know, I feel embarrassed or, you know,
right.
Or they'll even say, you know, as we have oftentimes heard from our Protestant brothers and sisters who don't really understand the sacrament as well, or even our own Catholics, well, why do I have to go to confession and confess my sins to a priest? Why can't I just confess them directly to God? And what I always like to say is, you know, when we go to confession, and I'm using a term that I don't necessarily think is the best term, but we face three judges. We face the judge of God, who's not really a judge. He's more of an advocate. He's actually someone there who's trying to convince us that we are worthy of his mercy, his forgiveness, his love. And so rather than us trying to present our argument as to why we should receive his grace, he's actually presenting to us why we should accept his grace and his forgiveness. But in addition to God, we also have the peers that we've offended by our sins, the consequences of our actions. And that's not just the people that we're aware of, because sometimes my actions directly affect certain people who indirectly will do things. And through that indirection, I also am responsible for all those people that I've affected. And so when I go to confession, I'm also facing all of those people. And I'm asking for their forgiveness, and I'm actually being able to receive their forgiveness. The priest is not only standing there in the person of Christ, in persona Christi, but he's also standing in the person of the church, in persona Ecclesiae. He's standing in the person of all the people who I've sinned against. But again, the final judge, for lack of a better word, is ourselves. And we as human beings need that reassurance. And so we need someone else to be able to say to us, you know, it's okay for you to say that you're forgiven. It's okay to accept this as something that God wants you to have. And that's important.
Why is it so important to not hold on to the failings that you've had, the sins that you have? Because Satan constantly wants to remind us about our shortfalls. And of course, one of my favorite expressions is when Satan tries to remind you of the things you've done that are against the Lord, remind him of his future,
mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
But the point is that we need to, when our sins are forgiven, they're not just forgiven, they're forgotten.
Right. Right.
Talk about it, because people don't understand that.
I think that's the thing is that we so oftentimes will relate the feeling of guilt as something that is synonymous to that we still have that sinfulness about us. But guilt can actually be a feeling that we have when we've done something, even if it's right, but we don't always necessarily feel good about it. Like, for instance, as parents, when a parent corrects a child and they see the child start to cry, they feel guilty that they've corrected their child. But did they do what was right? Yes, they did what was right. But still at the same time, as human beings, we still sometimes have emotions that we don't know why we have them, but we have them. I think it's important is to recognize that we are forgiven of our sins, and not only are we forgiven of our sins, but God gives us the grace to do better again. And let's face it, we're going to face those same encounters again. You know, just a few days ago, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints, and it can be very easy for us when we pick our favorite saint to say, I admire this particular saint because of this reason or because of that reason. And naturally, list all of the virtues and all the qualities and all of the ways in which they resemble being Christ-like. But sometimes I think what we forget is that the saints were human just like the rest of us. And perhaps one of the reasons why we can relate to them so well is not just because of their virtues and their qualities, but because of their own struggles. And yet, at the same time, we don't remember those struggles. Yes. We don't remember all of the things that they did wrong because we're celebrating the fact that they are saints. And that's what God wants us to do. It's the same thing. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of All Souls Day, and we're actually praying for those who have faithfully gone before us who are in the process of being purified. And, you know, sometimes our sins, even though we're forgiven of them, still have those consequences. And so we're purified of those consequences so that we can be in the perfect state of grace in order to be in heaven.
Now, one of the biggest issues is the fear of confronting your mental health issues. And one of the tactics of, I believe, of the enemy, but also it's kind of the human nature. I know when I went through depression, mm-hmm. I didn't want to see anybody.
Sure.
I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to, I had the covers over my head. You know, I didn't even want to, you know, peek out of the covers. You know, I didn't want to leave my bed. I didn't want to do anything because I felt so horrible about myself. All of that, my brothers and sisters, just know that while that may be natural, staying in it for any length of time is not natural. We've talked about reconciliation, going to Mass. But what is the great fear that people have of confronting their mental health issues?
I think the most important one that I face with the stigma, you know, as we were talking about before, there's a lack of public awareness and a lack of understanding of mental health and mental illness. And so, you know, so oftentimes it's this fear that, okay, if I admit this, then people are going to look at me differently. They're going to treat me differently. They're going to think that I'm not capable of doing what I was able to do before. And so because of that reason, people don't want to share that. There might also be this fear that if I admit this, I'm the only one that's going through this problem. And all of a sudden now I look very strange and very different. When I actually admitted publicly that I was suffering from depression and because of a result of it, burnout, I was the pastor of a parish, Christ our Savior. We were actually in the midst of a building project. And I remember I was sharing with them good news that the project was going forward. And then I had to share with them the bad news that I was going to be stepping down from the parish because, I had to take care of my own mental health. And I remember afterwards coming out after the Mass was over with and being overwhelmed by the number of people who who shared with me similar experiences, whether it was themselves, whether it was other people in their families, whether it was other people that they knew about who had gone through those same similar experiences. I've shared with other priests, I've shared with religious, my own struggles with my mental health and depression. And I have had priests and religious sisters come to me and share that they have had similar struggles. So it's not something that's, you know, a strange or uncommon. It's a lot more common than what people realize. And there's still those concerns of stigma, and that's unfortunately where we kind of live in our society. My concern when I stepped down from the parish, and the reason I stepped down from the parish, was I thought that I was making this public statement that there were going to be people who no longer had trust and confidence in my ability to be able to be their pastor.
My brothers and sisters, God makes all things into good. You know, Romans 8:28. All things work for good, for they who love the Lord are called according to their purpose. You know, I really believe very strongly that no matter what issues you've had with mental health in the past or maybe currently have, that God is going to use that for His glory, which is one of the most important things that we need to focus on. Your life is not over. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, my life is over because of this, that, or whatever. Your life is not over. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Your future is bright. Your future is great when you say yes to Jesus. When you don't let the enemy in which the enemy wants to discourage you, the enemy wants you to feel like you should quit. Three important things to always remember. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I'm going to add three more. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid of the future, that God is in the future. We're going to talk about more spiritual warfare, how it relates to mental health, when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running.
I am, again, incredibly excited to have Father Steve Perez with us, who is the parochial vicar of St. Joachim's Parish in Costa Mesa, California, talking about faith and mental health. You mentioned that we just had All Saints Day as we're recording this particular show here a couple days ago. People think of saints, and I preached on that day, right? You probably did too, mm-hmm. about how God is calling us to all to be saints, right? Mm-hmm. But we equivocate saints being perfect. Let's talk about that in terms of their mental health issues, sure. and their struggles, their sinfulness, and maybe some give examples of some saints that really had some mental health issues.
Well, certainly, you know, when we look at our saints, one of the things I think is important for us to realize is as I've been stating before, is that it is a very common problem. Mental health, and especially mental illness, affects about one of every five Americans. So when we sit there and we say, well, this is just an extraordinary example of this, no, it's a lot more common than what people realize. And as like you're saying, it affects our saints too. You know, so often we look at the saints as being holy men and women, but they also had their struggles. And so, you know, I was always kind of preparing for this show. You know, one of the things I did was I kind of looked up the saints and mental health and especially mental illness, you know, because it was in many cases, not just the mental health aspect, but the mental illness. And, you know, obviously you come across saints where you haven't really heard of before. I'm sure that some of us have heard of Saint Dipna. Saint Dipna suffered from stress and anxiety. She suffered from depression. She had a bipolar condition. She suffered from attention deficit disorder. But some of the saints that we might not necessarily relate with as far as mental illness is concerned. Saint Jane Frances de Chantal, she suffered from doubts and she suffered from depression, which was caused by the death of her husband. And so, you know, some people could say, well, that's just grief. But it was more than just grief, because it was something that she suffered from her entire life. When we talk about mental illness, we sometimes think about the people who are suffering from like schizophrenia or a bipolar. But we sometimes don't realize that mental illness can also relate to people who might be suffering from Alzheimer's or from substance abuse addictions. And so like St. Albert the Great, who's one of the doctors of our church, who was actually the teacher of many of our doctors of the church, you know, including St. Thomas Aquinas. He actually was very profound in his teaching and his thought, and yet towards the end of his life he suffered from Alzheimer's, where he couldn't remember anything. And you know, we have like Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who suffered from depression much of her life. We have more recent saints like Venerable Matt Talbot, who suffered from addiction to alcoholism. And sometimes I think we sometimes think like addiction to alcohol and addiction to drugs is a choice, but it's also a mental illness, especially when it becomes a compulsive behavior that the person can't overcome. One of the most recent saints that we just had canonized the last couple of years was St. Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador. He suffered from scrupulosity. He suffered from OCD, which is, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, where he was constantly struggling. And he was actually very vocal and very public with his problem, because he wanted people to be aware that God is calling us out of what we might perceive to be weaknesses to actually glorify him. And, you know, when we're talking a little bit about Satan wants to put us down. He wants to keep us down. And I think this goes back to the whole image of the difference between the cross and the crucifix. The cross is where we're just enduring a suffering, hoping that it'll go away, not recognizing that there is any value to it. Where the crucifix is embracing the suffering, transforming it, making it a sacrifice of love. I honestly believe that when Satan attacks us, he doesn't attack us with our weaknesses. He attacks us with our strengths and makes us convinced that there are weaknesses. And so when we look at some of the saints, we look at what we admire them for, their virtues, their qualities of how they're being Christ-like. But we sometimes forget about those weaknesses that they demonstrate in their life that we can relate to. And the reason why we forget about them is because through the grace of God, they were able to transform them. They were able to make them an act of love and a sacrifice in which they could offer, very similar to Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. You know, when we're going back to talking about confession, what I always like to say is that God wants us to be forgiven. You know, and I think it's important for us to remember that one of the most public examples of confession is the thief that was dying on the cross next to Jesus. He asked for forgiveness and Jesus forgave him. Jesus didn't say, well, maybe in 20 years you can get into heaven. Jesus said, surely today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus was forgiving his sins. And sometimes I think it can be very easy for us to say, well, he's a good thief. He was on the cross for a reason. He was Amen. On the cross because Amen. he was for some capital offense. And so God can forgive all of us, but what he wants us to do is to be able to forgive ourselves too.
My brothers and sisters, we're talking with Father Steve Carrez, parochial vicar of St. Joachim's, on faith and mental health. And we're talking about the struggles that so many saints have gone through. So basically, Father, there's hope for us.
Definitely. We do. We do hope that there's hope, right?
There's hope. There's hope for us. You know, so many people have given up before they really have begun.
Yes.
You know, how many saints later in life, you know, I mean, look at St. Paul.
Sure.
I mean, look at, you know, St. Peter. But, you know, Paul here, he killed my namesake, you know, Stephen.
Yeah.
And your namesake.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, even look at St. Paul. St. Paul, throughout his writings, He's constantly talking about all of the accomplishments that he has offered as part of his sacrifice. And sometimes when we look at the long list of sacrifices that he's made, we'll sometimes come to the conclusion, well, he's bragging, he's boasting about his accomplishments. No, because St. Paul was constantly struggling with that ability to be forgiven himself. Mm. And I think St. Paul is a beautiful example of what we're called to be. St. Peter is another example. So oftentimes, when we look at the confession of St. Peter, in which Peter is forgiven three times, we could say that St. Peter was forgiven three times because he was facing his three judges. He was facing God. He was facing his peers. He was facing himself. But what we also see is that Peter needed that reassurance. And I think sometimes that's what we're constantly looking for, is that reassurance. And as I said before, we're going to face our same challenges again and again and again. But I think what's important for us to remember is that God gives us a grace to overcome them. And, God gives us a grace to overcome them, to become more aware of them. And I think that's one of the important things, is that the more that we become aware of the difficulties that we have in our lives, the more that we start to be at peace with where God is calling us to be.
My brothers and sisters, we are on a journey. We're on a journey. Don't worry about the fact that you're not perfect. Don't worry about the fact that you're still broken. Take a look at what Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, starting at verse 15. What I do not understand. I can relate to that, right? Mm-hmm. For I do not do what I want, but what I hate. Now, if I do what I want, I concur the law is good. Now it's no longer I do sin that dwells in me, for I know that good does not dwell in me, that is my flesh. The willing is ready in hand, but doing the good is not. So here Paul is saying that he wants to do good, and yet he finds himself sinning. He finds himself tripping and falling. When you fall, you have the church, the reconciliation, you have, obviously, depending on the degree of sin that you went to, you have the Eucharist, you have the ability to receive God's mercy. That's part of the reason this ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is so heavily involved in divine mercy.
Sure.
We talked about that. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think if people understand God's divine mercy and God's mercy, then it just negates what the devil's trying to do.
Yeah.
And wipes clean that fear that they have, in which they go, no matter what they've done, God's mercy is so much greater than anything they've done in their past.
Yeah, right now, currently, I'm actually making a consecration to the Divine Mercy. And it's a book that Father Michael Gately had written.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he was relating in the book, based upon the writings of both St. Therese of Lisieux and also of St. Faustino, is the difference between divine justice and divine mercy. I think sometimes we think they're the two are the same. And so because of justice, we think, well, if I do something wrong, then I should be punished for it. And that's the way that justice works. But mercy is something completely different. Mercy is where, yes, when we do stuff wrong, there is a level in which we have to make amends for what it is that we do. But even when we go to confession, we're not making up for the sins, because I think it's important for us to realize that the penance that we receive is to acknowledge the mercy that we've received, not in order to receive it. So oftentimes people come back to me as a priest and they'll say, Father, I went to confession to you, or I went to confession to another priest and they gave me a penance and I didn't finish it. So I need to do it again in order to be absolved from my sins. And you sit there and say, no, you've already been absolved for your sins. The penance is a way that we demonstrate our appreciation for the mercy that we've received. The penance, the real penance that was actually made in order to absolve us of those sins, was with Jesus dying on the cross. We demonstrate there's a change in our lives, but it's not always instantaneous. You know, sometimes it's a process that takes us our entire life in order to do. And so I think sometimes, you know, when we're acknowledging God's mercy, it's a process. And it's not something that he expects to do for him. He expects us to do with him.
Amen, amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, there is hope. There's great hope. There is hope because Jesus died and rose again that you may have eternal salvation. Jesus broke through sin, broke through mental health issues because he himself sweated blood. He himself had anxiety, but at the same time, it wasn't a chronic anxiety because he turned to the Father and he knew that he knew that he knew who he was in the Father. Remember John 15, it says, remain in me and I remain in you. The closer we get to Jesus, the healthier we are in mental health.
Correct.
The closer we get to Jesus, the healthier we are in mental health. As we were reflecting upon this subject, faith and mental health, and talking about winning the battle of the mind, you know, I have a talk on that, winning the battle of the mind, and it's so important to understand that. I want everyone to turn to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and this starts at verse 4. Yet it was our pain that he bore, our sufferings he endured. We thought of him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By his wounds, we were healed. My brothers and sisters, he bore our pain. He bore our suffering. He bore our brokenness, our sinfulness that often has opened the door to depression, opened the door to the demons coming in and trying to tell us how worthless we are. He died on the cross for us. When we understand that he bore our sins, that he broke through the chains of depression, we're freed. You know, and that's, again, one of my favorite verses is in 2 Corinthians 3:16 and following, that when we see Jesus clearly, we have freedom. We have freedom. Your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly. You know, I think the more that we acknowledge God's presence in our life, the more that we become free. And this goes kind of back to what we're talking about with confession. The more that I become aware of my sinfulness and my weaknesses, the more the temptation is, the fight against the temptation changes. One of the things that when I admit that I'm susceptible to this or I'm being tempted by this, if I verbalize those actions, then I start to become more aware of them. I start to come up with a different game plan as to how I'm going to fight against them. But I've also acknowledged to other people, to God himself as well, that I am aware of these shortcomings and I'm asking for his help. And I think that's always the important thing is that, you know, once again, God gave us a free will. He could certainly intervene, but he respects that free will. But what he's also looking for is some of our own acknowledgement. It's like when a child does something wrong and the parent says, do you know what you did? What was wrong? Well, the parent knows what the child did wrong, but they want the child to be able to acknowledge that because they want the child to recognize that this is inappropriate behavior and I need to change it. And I think when we start to recognize what our sins are and the temptations that lead us to our sin, then we start to become more aware of what we're going to be doing in order to change that. When we're talking about the change, though, it doesn't just happen in the head. It doesn't happen in the brain. It happens in the heart. And I think the best example that we have of that is the Blessed Mother. I always like to say there's a big difference between when Mary was asked to be the mother of God and she said yes, but she had her questions. She had her questions. And when Zechariah was asked to be the father of St. John the Baptist, and he questioned also, but his questions were coming out of his head because he wasn't really moved to action. Mary's questions were coming out of the heart because she was moved to action. There's a big difference between asking why and asking how. And that's what our Lord is inviting us to do, is to really be aware of that transformation that happens in our heart.
So many times, our brothers and sisters, we feel like things are never going to get better. That's a lie. That's a lie. Know that God has created you to have an abundant life. We've heard this over and over again. I've come to give you life and life abundantly, John 10:10. To have an abundant life means that you have good mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the most important things by far. There are times when you don't have the physical health, but you can always have good mental health by being one with Jesus,
right,
by understanding how much he loves you. I really believe that the solution to so much mm-hmm. in this world is the contemplation, I'll use that word, reflection, prayer, of trying to just receive and open our hearts of how much God loves us.
Sure.
That it breaks through so much of depression and anxiety and fear. Tell us how much God loves us.
Well, enormously, you know, and I think we can't even use words to define it. I mean, that's why when we're talking about divine mercy and going back to the difference between divine justice and divine mercy, divine justice would almost indicate that we have to gain God's, love, but divine mercy would indicate that God wants to convince us of his love. You know, again, it's, I think, one of the important things, because we are beating ourselves up and the devil tempts us and convinces us that we're not worthy of it. And God, you know, reminds us otherwise. He gives us sacraments that, you know, like confession, where we can do over and over and over again. There was a time where people would go to confession once in their life and
right.
they screwed up. They were in trouble, you know.
Exactly. You got to plan it just right.
That's right. But I mean, God makes his forgiveness so available. He makes his divine mercy so available.
My brothers and sisters, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is just get time alone with the Lord. Go adoration. Go in front of a sacred picture or location or outside or someplace that's special for you. And just say, Lord, help me to feel, understand, help me to receive just a glimpse of the love that you have for me. One time when that happened, I wasn't asking for it, but I was feeling really, really down, really depressed. I had something in my life happen that really jeopardized my marriage, jeopardized so much of my life. And I'm sitting there listening to the song, You Are Mine. And as I'm listening to the words, all of a sudden I had these images of my feeding the poor, mm-hmm. my evangelizing, my, being there for people that are sick. You know, there was one image after another, just like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I heard a voice in my head say, this is how I see you.
Sure.
My brothers and sisters, this is how God sees you. He sees the good that you do. He doesn't see the sin. He sees the good. And when you focus on that, the depression that the devil wants you to have, the anxiety, the guilt, the self-condemnation goes away. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't condemn us.
Sure.
He died for us.
Sure. Well, and again, this goes back to the difference between enduring and embracing. You know, when we're talking about depression, obviously none of us feel very comfortable with depression. And so we endure it and we hope that it goes away. But when we start to embrace it, when we start to recognize that that God can work through the good and the bad, that he actually transforms me and I can actually allow myself to be transformed and be a witness to other people. I think that's the other part of it is that sometimes the struggles that we go through our lives, going back to the example of saints, is that we can sometimes focus just on their virtues and their qualities. But what also draws us to them are their weaknesses. And I remember someone in my parish, the DRE who I took the position over, Kathy Lewis, was saying something to the effect of, we sometimes pick the saints because we're drawn to them for some particular reason. But we sometimes have to realize that the saints picked us because they relate to us for a particular reason, and they want us to discover what that, that reason is. And so I think it's always important for us to remember that it's not just us picking to do this. It's not just us choosing to do this. God is also helping us along the way. Once again, it's we're not doing this for God. We're doing this with God. You know, and so I think so oftentimes that's what the devil tries to convince us of. You have to go and climb this uphill mountain by yourself, where God is saying, no, you don't have to climb this all by yourself. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to give you every means to be able to do it. But where the change starts is in the heart, and it starts to become more aware and more accepting. You had used an expression earlier, Deacon, Steve, of the difference between happiness and joy. Mm-hmm. Joy is a virtue. Happiness is a feeling. We all have feelings that go away after a while. But a virtue is something that remains. Peace is a virtue. I don't always feel at peace, but God is inviting me to be at peace.
My brothers and sisters, we're committed to help you in terms of issues with mental health, explaining the difference and how it all fits together with faith and mental health. You know, so contact us if you'd like us to give talks or seminars by going to spiritfulhearts.org. Also, look for us, and you can go again to the stjosephsummit.com to register and take a look at spiritfilledevents.com, and you'll see upcoming events and videos that we're going to have. Father Steve and I will be doing another video, but you can take a look at the one we already did. You know, we're here to make a difference with your faith, growing a faith, but also your overall awareness of how much God loves you. So I couldn't be more excited again that you've been on the show, Father Steve. I couldn't be more excited about this topic. You are a great gift. You are a great gift. And everything that has happened in your life, my life, and the lives of our listeners, God is using for His glory.
Well, and I think that's for all of us, too. And yes. We have to acknowledge that, is that there's a reason why God allows these things to happen the way that they do.
For His glory and for our good, mm-hmm. because He makes lemonade out of lemons, right? Mm-hmm. I am, again, so thankful for you, Father, and thank you for your yes. Could you close us out in prayer?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious God, as we reflect upon the beauty and the gift of our faith and the struggles that we sometimes encounter, especially with our mental health, we look especially to the example of our saints who have gone before us, who remind us not only of the virtues and the qualities that remind us of you, but also of the struggles that they embraced during their lifetime, that they may constantly remind us of our own witness of embracing our crucifixes for your greater glory. We especially pray for all of our faithfully departed who have gone before us, that they may now be witnessing and celebrating in your presence after their purification from all their impurities. We especially pray for all of us who continue to make this journey in faith, that as we are challenged with our many difficulties, that we may always recognize that communion of saints and that communion that you call us to be in with you. We pray this, and we pray all things in the prayer that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In
the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for being on the show, and God bless everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. Will be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week. Till I am a soul.